This morning, we're going to get directly into the Word of God. I am excited to actually minister this morning. You ever had those nights where you just can't sleep? Well, that was me last night. Hello. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 17. And we are going to read one scripture. Say amen when you have it. The Bible says this: I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing. I ask you, oh God, that you would move in a mighty way. Help me to communicate this message the way that you gave it to me. I pray that you would speak to somebody's heart and help them understand that they can have a personal relationship with you. Jesus, I ask for your anointing. I ask that you would move in Jesus' name. We all say amen. Well, this morning we're going to continue with our sermon series called Hide and Seek. How many people, by the show of hands, were here last week? Amen. So there's a few of you that weren't here. But last week we started this sermon series, and we called it Hide and Seek because I told a story of how the difference between how when children play hide and seek and when parents play hide and seek with their children. And pursuing God is a lot like playing hide and seek. And I say that because when you play hide and seek with your child, if you're a parent this morning, you've probably played with your children. Just wave at me if you've ever played the game. But when a child plays hide and seek, it's a little bit different because they hide so that they cannot be found. But when a parent plays hide and seek with their child, the whole purpose of the game is hiding in a place where your child can find you. And whenever I play hide and seek with my children, I'll normally hide in an area where they'll eventually find me, because the whole point of the game is not hiding, but it's the finding. And I was thinking back of when I used to play hide and seek with Joey. Joey is a little bit older. He is 5 years old, going on six. And time goes by fast. But when he was smaller, Joey would love to play hide and seek with me. And I played hide and seek a little bit different with him because this guy is very clever. Some of you know my son. And what I would do is I would hide in a place where I knew he wouldn't find me, but I would make the game interesting because I would hide in a place where he would walk by, and when he would be on the other side of the house or on the other side of the room, I would say things like, "Here I am," and he would get, like, he gets all excited, and he'd start looking, and he'd walk by me, and he'd miss me, but then when he passed me, I'd say, I'm over here, and he'd go, mommy, I heard him, where is he? He would walk around the house saying things like, "Daddy, where are you? Daddy, are you upstairs? Where are you hiding, Daddy?" And the more that I would hear him call to me, I like to spoil surprises. I can't keep surprises. I felt like saying, "Ta-da! Come on, somebody." But when I would muster up enough strength to not jump out, every now and again, my son would have a tendency to get a little bit frustrated. And whenever I would hear the words like, "Daddy, where are you? I can't find you." At that point, it didn't matter about the game. I would jump out and I would say, "Here I am, baby." And without fail, he would look at me and he would say these words, "Daddy, I knew you were here. I knew you were close." Till this day, the best part about playing hide and seek with my children is creating that special moment, building up the anticipation where we finally lock eyes and they look at me and they say, "Daddy, I found you." And the more that I thought about this game, like I mentioned last week, I mentioned how I honestly think this is what it looks like in the spirit to seek after God. Because like a loving father, God does not hide from us so that we cannot find him. The whole purpose in him hiding is so that we can find him. Proverbs 8:17, we just read it, says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Did you know that God desires to reveal himself to you? He is just waiting for us to seek him diligently. When pursuing God, we can't pursue God half fast. We can't pursue God just on Sunday mornings. It doesn't work like that. The Bible says that if you seek me diligently, you will find me. See, this morning I want to speak to you about seeking God in an attempt to develop a personal relationship with him. Have you ever been at a place in your life where maybe you feel lost and you're asking God, God, where are you? I'm going through some things right now. I feel all alone and I don't know what to do. Wave at me if you've been there. Well, did you know that God loves you and God is not far from you? As a matter of fact, God is just waiting for some of us to come to the end of ourselves so that we will pursue him with all of our heart. He desires, listen, God desires to have a personal relationship with you. He didn't call you into a religion. He called you into a relationship. God wants you to know his characteristics. He wants you to be close to him. He wants you to experience the joy that the Bible says is found in his presence. You know, when I first came to the Lord, I didn't grow up in church. And people would talk about how they had this relationship with God. And I used to get frustrated because I wanted to know God, but I didn't know how to seek God. I didn't know what to do. And that question sometimes comes up when I meet people. They say, well, how do I find God? Because I've been looking and he seems to be nowhere in sight. Well, there is no one answer. But most scriptures say that if you seek him, you will find him. Deuteronomy 4:29 says this, but from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all of your soul. See, when we want to get to know God, we have to seek him without conditions. We have to learn to pursue God without putting a time limit on there. We have to learn to press in and come to church if it's coming to church, learning to pray if it's praying, or seeking him in his word until we find him. Because the word seek means this: to seek earnestly, to seek diligently by questioning. It's to make investigation, desire, examine, and to search out. And we as God's people, we have to make sure that we're seeking God in all the right places. Because you ain't going to find him on Facebook. You're not going to find him on Twitter. You're not going to find him on the countless hours that are wasted in front of the television. I don't mean to make fun of people, but I think it's amazing when people are like, I've looked everywhere and I'm finding God. And they don't even come to church. Now, there's some arguments that say, well, I don't need to come to church, Pastor, to grab a hold of God. Okay, well, I hope you're praying at home. And I hope you're spending countless hours in the Word. But there is a benefit to meeting together in an attempt to seek him. Because the Bible says, where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. And listen to me, if you don't have the strength, if you don't have it in you to seek him, I always urge people, get around somebody that is seeking him and that has found him so that at least you can tag along. Come on, somebody. I've met certain people simply through association. And this is why it's important that we gather together. This is why it's important that we learn to seek him as a body. This is the whole purpose why we're getting together for prayer. Because there are a number of ways that you can seek God. And the first one is you can seek God through prayer. Prayer is simply connecting with God. It's communicating with God. It's talking with Him about where you're at, how you feel. It's about asking questions to God. Jeremiah 29, 12, 13 says this, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me." It's about calling out to God. It's about learning to develop a prayer life, and not just praying a prayer when we need something, but praying simply because we want to get to know Him. This is why it's important to develop a prayer life at home, whether you pray in the morning, whether you pray at night. We have a habit with our children. We love to pray with them in the morning. Our children will come down and they'll just cuddle on the couch. And the other day I was blessed. I was almost in tears because I finished praying and I got up, no joke. And I come back to where I pray. And what happens is whenever I pray, I leave the worship music on and I kind of start doing. I have a picture of my son Joey just leaning over and he's praying. Our children watch after us, but we got to teach them now how to tap into God's presence. We got to teach them now that praying is the norm. We got to teach them that when you don't know what to do, baby, all you have to do is pray. You ask God. If you don't understand, daddy, if you're going through it at school, learn to pray. If someone's being mean to you at school, pray for them. Be a friend to them. If you want to do great things for God, ask them now while you're a child, because God listens to you, baby. I call him daddy. I call my son's daddy. Come on, somebody. These are the type of things we got to teach our children. We got to teach them that God is near. The Bible even says in Deuteronomy, I believe it's in chapter 4, it says that what other God is so great than to have our God near us when we pray to Him? I think that's how it's phrased. Did I misquote it a little bit? Right? But God is near to us when we pray. The second way you can learn to seek God is you got to learn to seek God through His Word. You got to learn to seek God through His Word. Reading the Bible, this book has instructions for life. You want to be successful? Your success is going to be found in applying the principles of His Word. You want to know what to do in life when things are tough and your back is against the wall? Seek His Word. Proverbs 4:20-22 says this, "My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them." See, that last part of the phrase where it says find them, that means you're searching for Him. You know, when I read my Bible, I not only read it, but I have a pen and paper. And as my thoughts come to me or as I sense Him speaking to my spirit, I begin to write things down. And sometimes what I write down doesn't make sense. Sometimes they're random thoughts. But later on in the day, because I spent time reading His Word, I go and I have a conversation with someone. And the very thing that I read is now confirmed through somebody's conversation. Or whether I'm listening to something and God confirms His truth. Because I was looking for Him in His Word. Joshua 1:8 says this, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe, do according what is written in it. For then you will I will make you prosperous, and then you will have good success." It says meditate on it. Observe everything written in it. Once you've done those two things, then the Bible says, "I will make you prosperous and successful." The third way that you can seek God, listen to me, in godly fellowship. Godly fellowship. Acts chapter 2, 46-47 says this, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying with favor all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Something happens when people get together for the sole purpose of wanting to know Because if you're studying something and you've been seeking God on your own, you've been praying, you've been reading your word, the word that God gave you on Monday might be the very word that I need on Tuesday. And because we got together and we weren't just singing Kumbaya, but we started reminiscing on what God's done for us and how far he's brought us, we start exchanging words. You now tell me what God spoke to you. Little did you know that what God gave you wasn't for you, it was for me. And because you were willing to share what God gave you, because you were willing to share the secrets of his truth that he revealed to you, now I'm a blessed man. And that's the power of fellowship. When we get together and we're simply wanting to pursue God as a family. This is why I think it's important that families should get together and they should just have random conversations about the Lord. Me and my wife just will randomly talk with the boys and we'll just talk about God. And you'd be surprised what God will do. God will encourage your spirit when you fellowship with someone else. Now, seeking is important. And the Bible says a number of things about seeking. And I want to give you three things that the Bible says about seeking God. Number one, if we seek God with all of our heart, only then will we find him. When we seek him with all our hearts. See, the key to finding God is seeking him with all our hearts. Like I mentioned earlier, we can't search for God part-time. We can't get discouraged because we didn't find him. Because the more that you say, Daddy, where are you? Daddy, I can't find you. I believe with my heart, God draws close and he's just building a moment so that when he finally jumps out, you will be overflowing with joy because you found your heavenly Father. The best times that I've experienced with God were in the times when I didn't know what I was gonna do. The best encounters that I had with God were at 11:59:59, when I thought the day was going to end and I was going to go down and with my struggle, but at 11:59:59, some way, somehow, God came through. My question to you is this: are you willing to wait till 11:59:59, or do you give up at 10 o'clock? Sometimes people will put God on a time limit and say, God, I'm going to search for you this long, but if you don't show up, and we treat God like a genie in a bottle. Come on, somebody. I done rubbed it three times. Nothing came up. Come on, somebody. That sounds funny, but that's kind of the attitude of this generation. Call upon me, God. Well, that's why I don't serve you. My kids act like that. I might pop them. Come on, somebody. Come on, don't look at me like that. I still believe in spanking kids. Come on, somebody. But that's kind of the attitude of this generation. If we want to find God's plan for our life, listen, we got to seek God. And following God, for me, has been like a journey. And part of the whole excitement is trying to find out what he's called me to do. I daily ask God to unravel the plan for my life. I ask God, God, what do you have for me? Why did you create me? Why do I exist? What is there that you want me to do? And that's part of the joy. And I found when I pray prayers like that, they're dangerous prayers, because little do I know that God says, I've called you to do this. And the things that I never thought I'd be able to do, I'm able to do because I've sought after God. When we seek God, he gives us glimpses of what we were designed for. Did you know you were designed for something specific? The Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. There are gifts that you have that complement the body of Christ. And there are things that you bring to the table. The Bible even says it in Acts 17, 26 to 27. From one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they might seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from us. God created you for a reason. And this scripture says that he marked out your time in history. That's some heavy stuff. In other words, you exist in this time to make an impact at this time in 2016. So for some of you, that's good news, because you've been toiling, You've been going through some things, and I came here this morning to tell you that 2016 is the year of your breakthrough. It's the year where God's going to reveal his plan to you, but you got to seek after God for what it is that he wants to do in your life. There is a reason you exist. God has a plan for your life, and that plan is found only when you seek him. The second thing that the Bible says about seeking God, catch this. This is a heavy, if you catch this one point that I'm about to give you, it will truly change your life. The Bible says, God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, when I looked up that word rewarder, do you know what that word means? It means one who pays wages to somebody. That's some good stuff. The reason that's good is because this is what's behind in Matthew 6:33 when the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you know what those things were that the Bible says will be added unto you if you seek him? Did you know that they were material possessions? Yeah, if you read the chapters earlier, the Bible talks about not worrying about clothes, not worrying about what you will eat. And then it goes into, if you seek me, all these things that the pagans search for, all these things that this world searches for, I already have. God wants to give you your heart's desires. Our job is not to some way, somehow figure out how we're going to come up. That's a ghetto mentality that got to be broken. Come on, somebody. How am I going to get a come up? Come on, don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. Huh? We know a brother in the church that knows how to do something. We want a come up. Come on, don't look at me like that. How am I going to get up over here? How am I going to get more on my taxes? You know how many people done light on their taxes this year just to get a little more? See, you got people in the house of God doing it all wrong. They're some way devising a scheme and trying to figure out a way how they can come up and make more money, getting two jobs, missing church. God says, you don't got to do all that. You don't got to live in anxiety. You don't got to live in worry. All you have to do is seek my face, and you don't have to be like the pagans. You don't have to be suffocated with anxiety, but everything you want, I have it. And if you seek me, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. When my babies come up to me and they treat me like, Daddy, you got everything. I'm like, yes, I do. Come on now. My babies treat me. I'm like, they're like, Daddy, I love you. You can do anything. I'm like, baby, get him a sandwich. Come on, get him a sandwich. Get that boy a popsicle. He already had two. It's all right. It's all right. Today is cool. Come on, fathers. Come on. Help me out. Huh? My little baby Eli. Joey's already getting kind of older. He's like 6 years, about to be six. He looks at me. He's like, man, my dad's not that big. There's other guys bigger than him. Real deal. Real deal. That whole my daddy will beat up your daddy, that don't fly with Joey no more. Daddy, Joey's like, dang, my daddy's kind of small. Come on, somebody. But Eli, I'm a beast. Come on, somebody. But Eli, I'm like stronger than the Hulk. To Eli, Daddy can do anything. And lately, I've noticed I'm giving more to Eli because in Eli's eyes, I can do anything. You know where I'm going with this, right? When you search your father out and you treat him like, Daddy, I'm not going to worry because I already know you got it. Daddy, I'm not going to struggle. I really don't know how I'm going to get through financially, but you never let me down. Some way, somehow, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you said to seek you. I've done everything you wanted. I've learned to tithe. I've learned to save. I've learned to be a blessing. I've done all that you want me to do, and therefore, I'm not going to worry because one, this, my family is yours anyways. The house that I own, it's yours anyway. My car, I use it for your glory. Everything that I have is because of you, and therefore I will not live in worry, because I know that if I seek you, the Bible says you will add everything to me. And some of you got to catch that in your spirit. Because I really believe that God wants to bless you, but there are too many people, you're more focused on your financial struggle than you are seeking his word for how to break out of the struggle. Because there's an answer to where, if you're in debt, listen, the Bible has a wealth of knowledge on how to get out of debt. Listen, me and my wife, at one point, we were in debt. We're no longer debt. We are debt free. And we figured out that if we just budget, if we learn to manage our finances, if I didn't just blow it at random, come on, somebody. Especially us men, I mean, we work hard and we have this mindset like, man, I work hard and I don't care what you do with the rest of the money, but I'm going to take this money, I'm going to buy this $200 shoes, and I don't care what anybody says, you know what I went through this week? Come on now, there are some ladies, well, I don't care, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get 5 pair of shoes, and I'm going to get this little makeup thing that's probably like 7 ounces, and I'm going to pay $80 for it, and I don't care what you say, I take care of your children, I cook, I clean, and you come home, you don't know what I'm going through. Come on now. Ladies, wave at me, hello. But I've learned that if I put my feelings and my binge spending on hold for the sake of getting out of debt, listen, I walk in peace. I don't have it. One credit card debt. My cars are paid off. Everything's paid. We don't have any. I'm not saying that because we make a lot of money. We sacrificed. We didn't spend. I mean, there were times I didn't have a dollar to my name. But guess what? It was worth it because now I'm not in bondage. I'm not choking. And I'm simply telling you this, that if you follow the principles in the Bible, you can get out of debt. You don't have to live in worry. And God will add everything to you. As a matter of fact, one translation says he will give you the desires of your heart. Come on, some of you got to help me preach this morning. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, God will pay your wages. You start seeking God, all of a sudden, you're going to get a promotion. You start seeking the Lord, and guess what? Some way, somehow, you're going to get a check in the mail. Them things do exist. I didn't believe it. I used to get mad at people. I was like, you got some check in the mail. I've done been serving God 14 years. I ain't never got no check in the mail. Man, you're lying. Real deal. I used to get mad at people. Them testimonies. Oh, God provided. I'm like, well, God, I'm struggling over here. But I'll never forget. They took a pledge in the church one year. And I was going to give like $500. And I remember that the Lord had spoken to me and told me to give $2,500. And I was like, I mean, that's a lot of money. And I remember that I was like, no. And my wife would sit behind me. Can I be honest? Can I tell you some things? Come on, somebody. We have an interesting dynamic, but we get each other now. And I remember she gave me this look, and I didn't want to look. I was like, I'm not giving $2,500. I'm giving that $500. $500 is enough. You know what I had to do with that? I'm done. And then she taps me, and I look at her, and she just nods at me. And the Lord had already spoken. He said, give $2,500. And as a matter of fact, it was for the home. It was for the home. I think the home, they didn't know what they were going to do. They had to move the home to another building is what it was. And that's what it was for. And I remember, I got the checkbook, and it was all sloppy, too. I was like, my signature was sloppy. I think I even crumpled it up and threw it in the basket. And I remember after I did it, no lie, we were on our way to World Conference, which the conference was going to, we were going to take our children to Disneyland. I think I gave our Disneyland money away. I kid you not. My wife is my witness. Miranda and I, and Tiff, you remember this. We got a check in the mail for $2,500. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, everything you want, I already got it. I just wanted to know if you would be obedient. And ever since then, listen, we have been going upwards. I've looked at money differently. I understand that in Him, He has everything. I don't need to worry. I don't struggle. When we don't have money for the men, there's been times, I'm telling you, when we took over the church, I'm just telling you guys some stuff. I want to build your faith this morning financially. There were times I took over the church. We had a decision to make. Were we going to close the home? I was told we were $3,800 behind, and I just took over the church. I got an eviction notice the very next month that we took over the church. I didn't know what I was going to do with the home, and we didn't even have enough to pay for the church building. And I was like, well, the church or the home? The church, okay, well, we got to pay the church bills, but what do we do with the home? And there was about six guys in the home. And I remember thinking that logic said close the home because the overhead was close to $3,000. We didn't have that. But I remember praying and seeking God, and God said, keep the home open. Till this day, we've never been late on rent. I don't know how, some way, somehow, God has kept that home open. God has provided. We're seeing families change. We're seeing lives change. We're seeing leaders being risen up. We're seeing men grabbing a hold of God. Men that were at one time cast away, now being accepted. Family members seeking what they got. Why? Because we were willing to keep the home open, because we understood it was a God thing. What am I trying to say? Seek God. And the Bible says He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I'm going to end quick. I'm sorry. Are you with me? Are you getting something? Number three. The Bible says this about those who seek Him. The Bible says the Lord looks down and searches for those who seek Him. Now, I think this is heavy. Psalms 14:2. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Now, why would God look down for those who seek Him? I want you to think about that question for a second. If the Bible tells us He is the rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him, seeking God must catch His attention. I believe that the Lord looks down from heaven. And the New Living Translation says it like this: the Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. It is my personal belief that God uses ordinary men who seek Him greatly. I believe God can take an ordinary man and an ordinary woman, not gifted, but because they seek Him, He will use them greatly. A perfect example is the life of David. Acts 13:22 says this: after removing Saul, He made David their king, and God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. God searches for men who seek Him diligently, and in turn, He uses them greatly. See, that's good news, because some of you, you're here this morning, and you say, I want to do great things for God. I want God to use me to change my family. I want God to use me to make a difference in my neighborhood. I want God to use me. I want to be the link that brings my family back together. Well, listen, you start seeking God. You start seeking God, and God will anoint you to do greater things than you ever thought possible. Psalms 119:10 says, with my whole heart I will seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. David wasn't a perfect man. He was simply a man who sought after God with his whole heart. And as a result, listen to me, God testified, He is a man after my own heart. He will do whatever I ask Him. That's what I want God to say about me. I want Him to say, Eric is my servant. He seeks me. He is a man after my own heart. He will do whatever I ask of Him. And if you desire to do great things for God, that should be your prayer. Now, in closing, I said a lot of good things to build your faith. You're like, well, seeking God, that's great. But Pastor, I still can't find Him. Who's ever been there? Just wave at me. Because I've been there. I can preach this because I've been there. I've been there where people all around me are, they're like having the time of their lives with the Lord, and I'm in like the desert. Well, I have two questions for you. If you've been seeking God with all your heart and you haven't found him yet, the first question is this. What is it that you're seeking? Because if you've been seeking God and you haven't found him, the first question I always ask people is, what are you seeking? Are you seeking his face or are you seeking his hand? Are you seeking his will or are you asking him to validate your plan? What is it that you're seeking? Some people only seek God's hand and they don't seek his face. And therefore, their motive for seeking God is wrong. And this is why God said, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. When you read the book of Job, Job had the right attitude. This was Job's attitude towards God. But as for me, I would seek God. And to God I would commit my cause, who does great things, unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Here Job displays the right attitude in seeking God. In other words, I give you my case. I give you my plans, and God, whatever you say, it is well with my soul. See, other people, they seek God only for a sign. And I think this is kind of disrespectful. God, give me a sign if you're real. It almost sounds like a I double dog dare you type request. Because God, give me a sign, it displays an attitude of some sort of disbelief or it places conditions on God. Show me a sign, God, and I will believe in you. We cannot search God out with this type of mentality. The Pharisees did this to God, and this is what Jesus said. Mark 8:11, then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And this is kind of the heartbeat of the life and the world that we live in today. Show me a sign, God, and I'll believe. Do you know when the Bible says that he sighed deeply in his spirit? You know what that had to do with? God was frustrated with the generation's stubborn unbelief. If we seek God with those motives, he won't answer us. And lastly, the second question that I ask people if they say, well, where is he, Pastor? I can't find him. The second question I ask him is, where are you looking? If you're seeking God and you can't find him, where have you been looking? Some people seeking God in the wrong places. That's why they haven't found him. God is saying, here I am. I'm over here. But because we're so engulfed with the cares of this world, we can't hear him. And I caution you, you will not find God if you're distracted, searching in all the wrong places, or if you're giving all your precious time to social media. Or if you're investing in relationships that don't benefit you. Because there are some people, they give all their time to their friends. And I have nothing against friends. But listen, the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. Don't you think for a second that you can go into corrupt atmosphere and you're going to change it all by yourself if you haven't been standing on the word of God. If anything, you'll go into that atmosphere and you'll come out just like them. Could it be, and I truly end with this, that if we're not finding God, could it be, I'm just asking, is our focus off? Maybe we're not finding God because we're not looking in the right places. Sometimes we're so focused in our circumstances, or we're so focused on our struggle, we lose focus of God. In the midst of our struggle, God is saying, here I am. But because we're more focused on the problem, we're unable to see the problem solver. And I've learned this. You can't just seek God when you need him. You can't just seek God Sunday morning and expect your life to be put back together. If you have been through some things and your life has been broken and torn apart, Sunday morning alone is not gonna do it. This is why we have Bible studies. This is why we have Monday morning prayers at 5 a.m. This is why the men's home constantly prays. This is why we're having a prayer night. Because for some of us, what we need from God, we need a miraculous touch, supernatural, that will only be found in the presence of God. We can't allow or believe that the people that are going to give us what we need to hear. It doesn't work that way. I've come to find out there are certain problems my wife can't help me with. And I love her dearly. I know she stands by me. There are certain things I can't do for her. And in those times, I gotta seek the face of God. It's in my struggle where I no longer focus on the problem, but I start focusing on the problem solver. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. The New Living Translation says, search for the Lord and his strength. Continually seek him. Seeking God, listen to me, it's a lifestyle. I kid you not. Whenever I leave my house in the morning, I feel like I'm playing hide and seek all day long. Some of you need to adopt the game. Because I pray in the morning and I leave, and I'm like, God, where are you? I'm driving, God, where are you? I go to work, God, where are you? I listen to music, God, where are you? I go play sports. God, where are you? Man, I take beautiful walks around my neighborhood. I look at the trees. God, where? Wow. Look at the marvelous trees. Come on, somebody. I start looking for God in everything that I do, because seeking doesn't just happen on Sundays. It doesn't just happen on Wednesdays. It's a lifestyle. I seek him in everything that I do. And listen, because I'm God conscious, God reveals himself to me. I'm no greater than anybody else. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm no different than many of you. I have just adopted the lifestyle of seeking him in everything that I do. He's not secondary. He's first. In everything that I do, I seek him. Now, some of you, you're here this morning. You're so focused on the problem. You've lost perspective. But listen to me. God is saying, here I am. Here I am. Seek me. Seek me with all your heart, and you will find me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, I know we